Hey everybody, welcome to the Culture Shock Podcast. My name is Stephen Adeboye and I'm here with my special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo. Nice to meet you, Steve.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, everyone.
Alright, and so tell me your background. You've obviously have a musical background as a composer. So how long have you been doing that for?
Long. I forgot how long. yes, I'm a classical musician. I started as a pianist. First, I never really liked it for me when I like too black and white, and I kind of love color. So when I discovered the orchestra, I decided to stay there. So I'm a conductor actually. I'm from Colombia, so I started there. Then I moved to Paris, and I was living there for 18 years. Right. That's when I really, really started my career, and so on. And now I'm here in London for the last. Almost 2 years.
Okay, and are you conducting music in London as well?
Right now, no. My last concert was actually in Moscow some years ago, and I put everything on hold for now because of something else. I started an education project to bring music to everyone in I'd say in a proper way, by using artificial intelligence, machine learning, virtual reality and all those cutting edge funny technologies.
Wow, so
the idea basically is like I put on your smartphone a complete music school, let's say.
Yeah, and everyone's going mobile and, you know, learning so much in terms of having their device and having all that information there. So you're tapping into a new sort of way of learning with music, and you're saying artificial intelligence, virtual reality, and all that stuff.
All I can put inside.
Yeah, but you can put all the buzzwords pretty much. Do you have any scientific background, or have you got someone else helping
Not
you
at there? All. I'm just, I love technology as a huge amateur, let's say. I watch a science fiction movie and I'm like, wow,
yeah,
that should be nice. And let's say on the other side, I always have problems, if we can say that. I was always struggling, for example, at school. So I have an issue with education as we are living it now, where you have a lesson, you have to learn that lesson, no matter what, and then you go to the lesson number two, and so on. I believe each one of us is different, and each one of us learn in a very different way. So, for example, if you are learning how to type on a computer, you are going to struggle in something I want, and I will struggle in something you want. And the solution for me will be different than for you. So that doesn't work when you have a classroom or a teacher teaching you like lesson one, lesson two, lesson three, because you can't be yourself, let's say.
Absolutely.
So that's basically the idea behind all this tech project. So yes, here it's about teaching music, not the instruments and all that. It's more all the music theory. Because if you want, for example, to be on in a play, for example, you want to be Juliet or Romeo in Romeo and Juliet, and you have no idea how to read, good luck. You have to memorize Romeo and Juliet, which is like pretty long. The words, the sentence are pretty complex also, but then you have to dig into the art. So that's even more complicated if you don't know how to read. For music, it's exactly the same. You can't play any music for real if you are unable to read and to understand what you are reading. So that's the goal of this app. But at the same time, it's by understanding how each person learn and solve their problems.
And so you mentioned so many things, and I think, you know, breaking it down would be good. So we have a problem, I believe, in the education system. It's kind of one fits all, and obviously everyone goes through those class lessons because it's a batch production of making sure a student can do a certain job. They kind of say, okay, based on your skill sets, you are either artistic or you're mathematical or you're scientific, but you're all given the same lessons, and then in a way, you're not catered to your skill sets based on who you are. You're catered based on your ability to do certain things. And it can ruin your self-esteem.
Somehow it's
as
even
well.
Worse because there is someone who decreed that you have to learn that in that way. That's it. So, but I understand it. Let's say we invented school like 1,000 years ago, if I remember well, it was Charlemagne in France when he was the emperor who started the real school thing, and then it started evolving until we have what we have now, which work or not, that's then another issue. It works for some, it doesn't for others, and it depends on the school you are, the teacher you have. For example, I remember I used to hate history when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It was like the most boring thing. Why? Because of the teacher I had. And then suddenly I got a book who was The Three Musketeers, and I started reading that, and it was like so fun. So I started learning history, Louis XIII in France and the Musketeers with Richelieu and all that, thanks to Alexandre Dumas and his Three Musketeers. Then later I start reading the second book, which is, I forgot the name in English, but I think it's like 20 years after, which is The Revolution Here with Cromwell, with the king who loses his head, but under you have D'Artagnan and Athos and all the Musketeers who are here helping. And then you have a third book, which is Louis XIV with the, oh, what's the name of the story? The Man of the Iron Mask and so on. So it's all invented, but underneath you have all the real history.
Yeah.
It's alive, and suddenly it becomes really nice. After that, I became a huge fan of history, for example. So now I walk in the streets of London and I start like, oh, what happened here? And I try to dig and understand the Great Fire, for example.
Yeah.
Not that the Great Fire happened and blah, blah, blah. No, it's like, how was the people in that time? How did you manage to escape the fire? Things like that. That's the fun part.
That's the fun part.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I believe with education, we have like to start changing things, because now we have the technology and we have ways to do it. Back 100 years ago, for example, it was not possible.
Yeah.
Now each one of us have an iPhone or smartphone, let's call it, sorry. For those who are not on Apple. Sorry. Everyone have a tablet and so on. Tomorrow everyone will even have a fridge who's on internet, and you can play games on your fridge. So hopefully we won't. I bet we will learn something like that.
Yeah.
So now schools can change the way they approach education. In the case of music, it's, I'd say it's a little bit special, because music for many people is just a hobby. So because it's a hobby, the government is not investing in music teachers.
Yeah.
So schools, they can't teach music. Then parents think it's even more of a hobby.
Yeah.
And so on. So. But on the other side, music is in the national curriculum, so schools have to teach it. So how do we do?
Yeah.
So technology allows that by having a nice platform able to teach you how to read the notes, the rhythm, train your ear to sing, music history, for example, music theory, everything. So you will be able to have a real overview of music, but also to do it. So you can become a musician just by using an app. And then when you are going to go to a music teacher, that teacher is going to teach you the violin, the piano, the clarinet, whatever, because you already have all your basics. So back to Romeo and Juliet, you know how to read, you know the history, you know the grammar, you know how it works, how to understand that play. And then your teacher will be helping you to put it alive, let's say.
Yeah.
So now we are on stage and you are Romeo and go for it. So how to do that? But he doesn't need to teach you how to read, which would be pretty absurd.
Yeah.
That's the case in music.
Yeah.
But once we do that in music with all this technology, we can do the same for mathematics, for example, for physics, for everything. So my goal is like, let's use all what we have. Technology is like amazing for something like that.
Yeah. And I think he touches so many points, and again, there are layers to this, but the imagination is a very important tool that I think a lot of people can neglect unless you're trying to write a storybook. But music, again, your imagination, how you create, but how you learn is also important, using your imagination to sort of build that foundation to make things alive.
And we also need to teach you how to use your imagination and like put some fire in that imagination so it becomes a huge bonfire.
Yeah.
Because we all have that in us. I'm sure you are able to compose a piece. You can have an imagination, you can sing a melody. Then you have to have the knowledge to put that on paper and then use the harmony and build, transform that melody you had in your head into a music piece. But you can do the same with painting, you can do the same with dancing, with everything.
Yeah. I think, and also you mentioned all that, but then you have the tools now to even make it more accessible for you to plant these ideas in your mind and make it more structured. Yeah. Because before you kind of go, I've got this great idea. You've got a piece of paper and you have to follow the language based on that. But your product is going to hopefully teach people with a beginning background how to sort of build that foundation.
That's the goal. Exactly. Yeah. It's to teach people the language of music.
Mm, that's crazy. And again, you said it can hopefully transcend beyond music. You're talking about physics and, you know, mathematics and
What I'm working now, it's a software, machine learning software, mm-hmm. who understands who you are, understands your problem, mm-hmm. but also your behavior, let's say. Imagine you are a kid, you are in school, I don't remember when they finish school, it's like 4, 5 p.m.?
About 3, 4.
Okay, yeah. So let's say they finish at 4, yeah. Then they have to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
Then they are tired. Yeah. So if they start using the app at 4:30 when they just reach their home, they are not concentrated. So where is the point? Yeah. So the app, for example, will be able to understand that. And instead of sending a notification, hey, let's do an exercise at 4, he will wait until 5:30, for example.
Mm.
Then if the app understands by your results, let's say, that you are not concentrated, the app must stop, because it's like, where's the goal of that?
Mm.
So we stop here and we will continue like in 30 minutes. Mm. So go have fun and then we'll work a little bit again.
Yeah.
Let's say it's better if you work 15 minutes per day than if you work one day, 3 hours.
Mm.
Because your brain needs to process, you're going to sleep, and then what you were doing, your brain is processing all that.
Yeah.
So that's what the app is understanding. And with all that data, it's sending it, imagine it, to another software who will be creating the content.
Mm.
And then that's the content the user is going to have. So we are going to be solving the real problems.
Yeah.
So that's the goal.
Yeah, the other thing I was going to mention was, I think with mobile devices, a lot of things are force-fed. So how you gain your information is pretty much laid to you. You know how we used to read books and try to interpret information, but now you can just go, okay, click, 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 Google, tell me this, tell me that. But you're using artificial intelligence to challenge the brain, challenge the person's idea of learning, but also saying, you know what, we understand you're human. You're not going to have this information force-fed into you.
The goal, as I was saying in a presentation I did in Edinburgh in July, it's to put the user, well, I hate the word user because it's like...
Yes, you're not human.
Exactly. To put the person at the center of the technology. So it's all about that person and caring about that person, about his learning process, about his problems, but also about what he managed to do well. Imagine you have some talent and you managed to read pretty well the exercise. So why not pushing you further so you are going to become a better musician and go faster?
Yeah. Do you think the world needs more musicians, or is it just saying, I'm looking for that particular musician?
I think the world needs way more art. Years ago, I spoke with a very interesting French philosopher, and he, at the end of the conversation, we were speaking about the French Revolution and how it all started with art. And he told me he was very happy for meeting me because I was thinking the same way as he is, I don't remember if he's still alive, no man. I hope I'm not killing him, sorry if I did. The idea is first you have an artist who comes up with an idea and he doesn't really understand that idea, he feels something. Then you have a philosopher who understands what that artist was speaking about and he's going to make, let's call it a theory. Then you will have kind of a scientist who's going to prove that theory.
Mm.
Then a politician is going to understand all that and put it for real in the real world. And then 100 years later, everyone thinks it should be like that because it's normal.
Mm.
In that case, with the French Revolution, we were speaking about the Renaissance, how the artists in the Renaissance starts the movement who are going to lead to the French Revolution and that concept of freedom they have.
Mm.
If we stop looking to art and artists, we are forgetting a part of ourselves. Art is like the essence of the soul of the human being. That's for me, the real difference between us and animals and so on. Mm. We have our brain, but we express ourselves with something. So music, it sounds, painting, it's colors, figures, whatever, dance, it's movements. And at the end, it's all the same. It's we're expressing something.
Yeah.
So if we don't express ourselves, we have a problem. But if we don't listen to those expressing something, it's also a problem.
Yeah, that is a mind-blowing thing, because we look at music and it's transformed from, you know, more of a political stand or, you know, a moment in time to, okay, this is more of a leisure or more of a, you know, pop melody that would just take my mind from what's happening in the real world. And it's kind of commercialized and it's turned into something else, which is profit-making. The way you're talking about music, it's based on your sort of life. It's like the lifeblood of society.
Let's make a difference between the real art and commercial art, which is like not the same. If I take a pretty girl and I teach her how to sing a little bit and then I put a huge marketing team behind and I transform her in a huge pop star, I'm not doing art. I'm just selling something. I'm just selling her CDs and so on. It's only marketing. On the other hand, when there is someone like really genuinely doing something and writing that music from inside the person, whatever it is, classical music, pop music, or no matter what, it works. That's where we have art.
You're talking about the differences between commercial and, again, the art form. In terms of how you picked up this art form, were you gifted in that, or did you have to
learn it?
You just learn it. Did you spend time just reading and reading and reading, or did you find other methods
There is even more. You have to read, you have to practice, you have to be curious and let's say, put everything into question somehow. Beethoven used to say that in order to break the rules, you have first to know them.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. If you want to become a musician and you have no idea how to read the music or how to write it, how it works, how can you possibly do good music? You can do melodies and you can do some fun things, but express yourself, complicate. And then it's a huge process. So in music, it's easy to start. In the alphabet, we have a lot of letters. Now I forgot, it's like 24, 26? I forgot.
Oh,
yes, it's a shame.
It's a shame.
Sorry, we are both ignorant. In music, we have only 7.
Yeah.
We have 7 notes. Then those 7 notes goes the same up or down, but basically they are the same. And then we have something we call alterations, which are going to have 12 notes. Mm. That's it.
Yeah.
So once we know 12 notes, in theory, we can make music.
Mm.
But then when we start digging into the real music theory and everything, how to put things together, that's when it becomes way more complicated. But it's possible to learn. You have some people who have an amazing talent and they make great things only with talent. But then you have others who doesn't have that talent, they just learn how to do it. So they have the technique and the know-how, and thanks to that, they're able to make amazing music. Then of course, if you have both, we can call you Mozart, we can call you Debussy, Stravinsky, and all those great names. But like, we are not all like them.
Have you taken those foundations in terms of how you learn music to other parts of your life, such as pitching and, you know, getting yourself in front of investors as well?
Not really on like that. Let's say pitching to an investor, it's first you have to know what you are doing. You know your business and you have to do your homework, let's say. Many people, they come up with an idea, they put a small pitch deck and they believe they are investor ready. They are not. First you have to know your customer, build your product according to that customer at the end, otherwise it doesn't work. But how am I going to get that customer? Why that customer? How am I going to present my product to sell it to that customer? What's my real problem? How am I solving it? And so on. Then of course you have the financials and so on that you have to know. But at the end, especially angels, investors and so on, they are going to invest in people, not in projects. Because in project everything works.
Yeah.
In project I can give you the best the most amazing financial projections. You are going to give me £10 and in 5 years you are I'm going to give you 10 millions. Mm-hmm. Yes, on paper that's easy. Mm-hmm. But usually companies fail. So when you invest, you're not investing because of those documents. You are investing because of the person, because you believe in that person. Mm-hmm. So an entrepreneur have to be passionate about what he's doing, and they need to have something, let's call it, the why behind the idea. Why am I doing that?
Yeah.
And why me?
Mm.
That's, I believe, how investors are going to like you and put the money. On my side, let's say, my skills and all that, mainly as a conductor, I managed to use it for other things.
Mm.
Like, for example, managing people, all that. That's another story.
We can dive into that story just a little bit. So, as your previous life as a conductor, what was the most extravagant or weirdest thing that you've done in terms of performances? Or...
It's not easy to answer. Say, I'm a bit someone like... I don't think a lot about the consequences
okay.
when I do things. So I go and I speak with someone and then, oops, that's basically me.
Yeah.
I had some amazing experience, some weird ones, some very challenging, mm. some who were like not very human and others who were like something really, I don't know, really meaningful in a human way.
Yeah.
One of the most beautiful ones, for example, I think about my first concert in Moscow. Mm. First I was really, really nervous and scared because the director of the conservatoire came to see me before the concert, and he just asked me in a very, very beautiful Spanish. I was feeling like in the 17th century. It's really strange, but they are. If I was comfortable and everything, and then he told me that all the famous conductors were staying where I was,
mm.
But they had to change the layout because they put a lift, so now the room was smaller and so on. And then he told me I was the first Colombian conductor invited to conduct in that concert hall,
yeah.
in the great hall of the Moscow Conservatoire. So of course I started panicking because I saw myself like the tiny little guy who was just there like on the steps of the most famous conductors, and I was like, okay, now the pressure is on.
Yeah.
And I was doing a tango concert, it was a Piazzolla concert.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, I was really struggling with the orchestra because, well, it's not really the Russian soul. Tango and Russia, normally you don't put that together,
yeah.
Even if they were really great musicians. But we struggle like to get that soul.
Yeah.
And at the end, it works really well. They got it. And those two factors together made, for me, let's say, a very, very memorable concert,
mm.
let's say.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think those life stories that you probably have in you, it builds your confidence in approaching any new
yes.
situation. And I guess now you're diving into some of a business-orientated world with pitching ideas.
Somehow I always been in business, let's say.
Mm.
When you're a conductor, you're in front of a number of people, very skilled people, and you have to manage them in real time. So it's like a general during a battle. In a company, in a normal company, you have it's like a pyramid. You have the CEO. The CEO have some people under. Then each one of them will have other people under, and so on.
Yeah.
So the decision is not something direct. Let's say it. When you're a conductor, yes, you're saying you go.
Yeah.
And it happened just there.
Yeah.
So it's very different way to do it. But as a conductor, my mission is to inspire them.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to play. They don't need me to play. They are maybe better musicians than what I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm the one who have a vision, and I'm the one who have to bring the best of them so I get a good concert.
Yeah.
And then I have to put people together.
Mm-hmm.
So at the same time, you also have to go for funding. For example,
mm.
you are a kind of project manager.
Mm.
And then when in my life, I have some crazy other things happening close to music, but not completely musical.
Yeah.
When I had to become a CEO, I was, for example, I was commissioned to make an opera festival in Cartagena, in Colombia. That's in the north of Colombia, an international festival where I had to put together all the productions, bring them to the Cartagena with a budget around $4 million. So I was leading everything. I was the artistic director, but also the general director of that institution. Before that, when 9/11 attacks, for example, in New York, I proposed, I was living in France, I proposed a project to the Palace of the L'Elysée, to Jacques Chirac, at that moment. And, well, I was not supposed to be like that, so I was thinking they were taking the letter, they would laugh, and that's it. No, actually, I got a phone call the day I sent the letter of the president chief of staff, who wanted to see me on the next morning at 7 in the morning, and he commissioned me to do that project, which was making a composer requiem using the Muslim religion, Catholic one and Jewish one, as a message of peace from France to the world because of those attacks. And the goal was to put together an orchestra of young musicians to play that. So from all over the world, sorry, I forgot that little part. So then I had to go with an official car to speak with all the embassies, with all the ambassadors in Paris, to convince them to help me for that project and put together that orchestra and so on. Sadly, it never happened because NATO started bombing Afghanistan, so what?
Yeah.
Bombs and peace message doesn't really work together. Why the project never worked. But I was like, again, that project manager having to go to see those people, convince them. So it's like going and signing a contract and manage your team and so on.
And you've probably, I mean, you're, like I said, a conductor, but pretty much bringing everything together. Making something happen.
Exactly.
And, you know, with what you had, and if it worked well, great. If it didn't, at least you picked up some skills in terms of how to manage
the situation. Yes, completely. Let's say somehow I've been working as a consultant for many years, like maybe all my life, thanks to the music.
Yeah.
In that way. Then I've been getting some skills, some very specific skills, and then I start applying to other things here to make this project work. I'm the musician, so I know how it works. So I have that deep knowledge of the subject, let's call it. But I'm also a teacher, so I know how that works. So how people learn, and how, that's the most important part, how I teach them. Because I've been a teacher for like more than 20 years, and now I feel old. And so on. So then it's like simply putting all that together and have a vision. And well, gladly I have imagination, so it's easy.
The power of imagination is important. Just about what you just said, you know, with your history, with everything that you've gone through, with what you're trying to achieve now, what's your legacy? What do you want the world to know you for, or your product in general?
Say, regarding this project, I don't care about me somehow. I'm just the guy doing it. But for me, if it works, I will then hire someone to lead that company so I can go on the side and go for my music and go back to conducting and so on. But my goal with this app, this platform, most of all, it's to allow everyone to become a musician, not only here in the UK, but also in Asia, in South America, everywhere where there is no access to culture. This platform will be 9 models, and in the center you have an orchestra, a professional orchestra playing concerts. So when you live in, I don't know, in a little village in, I don't know which country, let's say Afghanistan, as we were speaking earlier, how can you have access to classical concerts? It's barely impossible. And if I can give you that access through this platform called Music Story, well, that's great, because maybe one kid in Afghanistan will like it, and he's going to start his journey into music. There is a story, a very beautiful story in Chile, beginning of the 20th century, about a guy who used to work like in the mines or something like that. I forgot exactly where. He was really a very poor guy and everything. And he heard something on the radio from someone called Chopin. So he had no idea, but he loved that. He was like, wow, that's the most amazing music I've ever heard. So he got paid, he got his check, he went to Buenos Aires, the closest city. Mm-hmm. He went to the bank, he cashed his check, for his salary, and he asked the guy of the bank, hey, maybe you who works in the city and all that, maybe you know, I heard on the radio a music of a guy called Chopin. Do you know how can I find that guy? Because he's amazing. Mm-hmm. The guy was like, okay, no, it's not Chopin, it's Chopin. So it's Frédéric Chopin, but that guy died like a century ago. Oh, and he was an amazing composer and so on. He wrote a lot for piano. Perfect. The guy spent all his salary buying recordings or finding a way to hear his music. Mm. And he had a son. Mm. He bought a piano for his son. And his son started taking lessons to become a pianist. Mm. That son became a pianist, an international pianist. So it's possible that from something really simple, you suddenly discover music, you discover something you really like, and then here you are.
Yeah, it could be life-changing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it is life-changing. Normally, now, people making research, for example, about the benefits of music. When you are playing an instrument, your brain is working in a way different way, and you are improving your skills, your brain skills. Memory, coordination, imagination, everything. Yeah. Many things happening with music.
Yeah.
Einstein was an amazingly good violinist, for example. Music is mathematics. Yeah. It works in the same way. Yeah. So by doing music, you are going to become a better human being with more skills, but also understanding your society way better.
Yeah, and have a lot of compassion as well.
Of course.
Yeah.
But for example, the problems we have, like racist people, well, if you understand the music and the culture of those people, you are going to like it.
Mm.
You are not going to blame them.
Yeah.
So you are going to be friends instead of being enemies.
Yeah. I think, again, if we were to say, you know, a final point, like music does bring people together in the way that no other sort of media or person can do.
Exactly.
You can listen to music in a different language or without a language and you understand the story. Or you have your own story to yourself.
Yes, it's not even about telling a story. It's simply about giving something.
Yeah.
That's it. You feel something and that's what matters.
Mm.
If I manage with this platform to make some people feel something and get an interest for that, I will be the happiest guy ever.
Mm.
Now, well, I have to make it work. That's another story.
That's another story, but I think this is the first step, really, is getting your voice
yes,
out there.
Yes, exactly. And it's a long journey because it's a very ambitious project.
Yeah.
So the full project will cost like almost £5 million.
Mm.
So now I'm just a little starting building everything. So it's going to be a long journey.
A lot to follow your journey. I'm sure a lot of other people would like to see you succeed in your journey as well. Is there anywhere, any place where people can find you?
Well, there is a website, it's Music Story in just one word, so musicstory.co.uk.
Mm.
That's the best way, I think.
Okay.
I think normally they can send a message.
Yeah.
Everyone who wants to get involved in any way, the more crazy people we are around it, the best.
Yeah.
So everyone is welcome.
Excellent. Look, it's been a pleasure talking to you about Music Story and your journey.
Thank you.
And I'm sure everyone will benefit from this conversation. So thanks everyone for listening and take care.
Thank you very much.
Hey podcast listeners, thanks for listening and thanks for my special guest and thanks for clicking that play button. But I need you to do four things for me. I want you to like, comment, subscribe and share this content. It will help tremendously with the growth of this podcast and I'm producing more content than ever. So I want you guys to be the first to know and I want others to know as well. So do those four things for me and help this podcast grow to a bigger platform. Thanks for listening.